I almost sound like a broken record every time I say it, but we do not own any of the copyrights to any of the music playing. This song is called Heaven by Mr. Rodney Jordan. Shout out to Mr.
Rodney. All right, Mr. Jordan.
You're now tuned in to Walk of the Walker, ladies and gentlemen. Got a good one for you today. Let's tap into it. Let's get real. Let's do it. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your man, Lou Walker. And I want to say welcome to Walker to Walker. Sitting across from me is the OG himself, Mr. OG Joe himself.
Thank you. You're all a wonderful.
How you feeling today, boss?
Oh, man, you know, it's Easter Sunday, man. You know, even if you're feeling bad, you need to fake it for the day, man. This is not the day to feel bad, you know, because great things happened this day in history.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, so you gotta fake the funk today, man, and keep your spirits up.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
So, having said that, I am feeling exuberant today for no other reason than today is Easter Sunday.
I get that. I tell you what, though, you've been exuberant quite a few episodes, so.
Well, you know, you get exhilarated, man, when you're talking about stuff that you like to talk about.
I get that.
You know, and it helps, too, when you're abreast of the issues.
Okay.
You know, so.
We get a plaque. Perfect attendance on exuberant.
Yeah.
Get a plaque made for that one. Man, my man's been exuberant for the 5 consecutive weeks.
Yay!
What's on tap today, OG? What's on tap for today?
Well, you know, we're actually gonna discover the Constitution of the United States of America.
We're gonna discover it
because we know it exists,
right?
But in terms of its actual contents, very few of us know anything about it, you know.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to discover the Constitution of the United States, man, you know, so that we will then know something about it.
True enough.
But I would venture to guess, and not a betting man either, but I would guess if you walk down any single street in America and ask every person you meet what's written in the Constitution, you may get two out of ten to tell you something that's in the Constitution.
Okay.
You know, it's not a document that people spend a great deal of time on, you know.
Nor is it anything that's pushed in elementary schools.
Right.
Middle schools or high schools. It's not something that's in school in too much. We don't have a curriculum where the Constitution's rights and what's in it. And we've talked about trying to implement it in schools, but I just don't think that there's enough people on board to kind of push that along. But I digress.
Yeah, we're going to digress a little bit more before we get started on it. But first, you know, we always do that to the point thing.
And to the point. Hold on. I gotta add a thing to the point. Hold on. I got pushed up the wrong thing. Hold on. Here we go. You say to the point.
To the point.
Do your thing, boss.
Yeah. So we're, you know, a couple of hundred days away from the general election where we decide our president for the next 4 years.
Okay.
And so we've been trying to get voters on board, get citizens, I should say, voting right, voting age citizens, to get registered and give a little time to understand what you're actually voting for. Because when you go to the polls, you're doing more than just voting for a guy.
Right.
Or gal, if that, you know, if it should be fortunate. But this year it's not going to be this voting year. So kind of understand that you're not just voting for a president. You know, those guys represent something that's crucial in your life. You know, and for you to know if this particular guy is representing your best value or not.
Right.
You know, so we don't, a lot of times, like I say, we hear little bleeps on television commercials and, you know, and a lot of it is negative campaign ads, you know, so you have to do a little research to see what these guys represent.
Okay.
Because I'm still dumbfounded as to what a particular candidate represents. But having said that, and as I said in the last episode, you know, voter registration, you know, you got to July 20th, I believe, 2024. Deadline to request vote by mail ballot is the 8th of August.
Okay.
Of the same year.
So you can vote by mail.
Yeah. Yes.
Don't even have to stand in line.
No. You know, and occasionally
it's almost like they're giving the voting on the silver platter. Just, if you don't want to go to them, we'll come to you.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, you know, they have one primary reason for doing vote by mail is because you may have a disabled individual
that can't make it.
You know, so, you know, because you can't make it to the poll, there's no reason for you not to vote.
Yeah.
You know, we'll send it to your mailbox.
Yeah.
You know, and so those deadlines are in place. Okay. For those people.
Okay.
What, you know, besides, you know, the president, you know, the next question come to mind, what are we voting for?
Right.
You know, and if you, and here again, if you polled 100 people in your city and asked them what are they voting for? You might get 5 out of 10 to give you something.
I give you six.
Even at that, you know, 10 out of 10 is not going to tell you what's going to be on the ballot. So, you know, and I thought about a few things that's imperative to voters.
Okay.
One being, of course, the abortion choice.
Okay.
You know, and this is not solely about your right to have an abortion as a woman.
It's about the time frame of when your abortion can be implemented.
More importantly than that, we're talking because we're talking about a woman's health rights.
Right.
You know, why does the government have sold authority over a woman's body? You know, they're essentially saying, you can't do this if we don't say you can do this.
Right.
Well, whose body is it anyway?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Whose choice is it anyway? Should it be the government or should it be the woman? You know, so Roe versus Wade set this issue back on the ballot, you know, when they outlawed, and they're still working on, with all the restrictions on abortion, you know, it used to be a choice. Woman can go have an abortion if she wanted to and no questions asked.
Right.
Now the doctors are being prosecuted.
For murder.
Yeah, you know, and all this foolishness. And then the next thing that's on there is education.
Okay.
You know, and when you think in terms of education, then you can't help but to reflect on our state of Florida and what the governor doesn't want taught in public schools, courses that he don't want taught at college level in the state.
Okay.
You know, so education.
Well, I don't mean to cut you off, but why would one not want this kind of thing being taught in the colleges at a college level?
Well, you know, most of the answers to that questions are been pretty much speculation.
Right.
You know, because you have a guy that you know, have this controlled mentality.
Right.
You know, my state, my rules.
I get that. You like know. Like a tyrant.
Yeah, exactly as such.
Right.
You know, so, and so when you think about why wouldn't you want to teach African-American history in your state? Why you don't want that being taught?
Slavery in a whole. Like, why yeah. is that not? I mean, history is history, good, bad, or ugly.
Yeah, and the fact that you brought up slavery, you know, and I think this is how the guy got himself in trouble by saying slavery was a benefit for the slaves, you know, to learn trades, you know. I think we mentioned this before. Yeah,
we have.
Learn trades to further their life.
You know, we could have learned them damn trades without your shackles.
You know what I mean? Hell, we was teaching the stuff that you all was talking about. We learned, and we was the one teaching everybody else. You
right.
know, the slaves were doing the work. So right. what they, you know. So, yeah, that's an issue that's on the ballot.
Okay.
The economy, of course. And I think most people take the economy on a personal level.
Okay.
While the feds are saying that the economy is expiring, aspiring, you know, doing well, on a personal level, you know, you still got people over here that can't make their payments, can't get their food, can't get their medicines, you know, and we see gas prices increasing and food costs increasing, you know, so on a personal level, you know, it seems like the economy stinks.
Yeah.
But, you know, the broad spectrum of things, you know, the real factors that drive the economy for the most part, you know, and it's like your housing, your construction, you know, some of the big ticket items is what the government focuses on.
Right.
Now, given this current administration has gone a little bit deeper, you know, because many of the people, you know, you have 15 million people in a certain age bracket. Now, since at the top of your population chart, you know, these people are relying on, well, not, I shouldn't say relying on, but these people are recipients of,
right.
in some form, of the Medicaid system.
Right. Okay.
And they've experienced in the past the cost of medication on that system.
Yeah.
It just gotten way out of control. So this current administration has been negotiating with Big Pharma,
mm-hmm.
you know, to try to cut the cost. Now, here's an astounding fact. Why is it that America pay more for maintenance drugs, you know, like your insulins and so forth, than any other country on the planet?
Huh.
You know, we pay more for a single dose that in many other countries can be a dose, the cost would be a dose for 10 people.
Weren't they working on a bill to get that?
Well, he's that actually... out? Yeah, he's actually, the administration has actually gotten some advancements on that, you know, so that they can, you know, negotiate now with Big Pharma on the cost of these medications. So.
Okay, cool. Good news.
And healthcare is always going to be on the ballot, you know.
Always.
Always on the ballot, you know, and this kind of ties into to the abortion, right? But the health care, you know, they're still trying to disarm or dismantle the Affordable Care Act, you know, in this administration is still trying to prop it up stronger, you know, so that's actually going to be on there. Sex and gender issues.
I don't even want to touch that shit. Excuse my French.
Yeah, well, you know, in a lot of folks don't. But you know, this get to me at the heart of a moral issue. You know.
It's definitely a moral issue.
Yeah, because, you know, you got to go back and start thinking, you know, is it morally right for you to think that in that God had made a mistake in your assigning your gender? Essentially what you're saying when you want to go and say, oh, I feel like I should have been a woman, so I'm going to get, you know, I'm going to transition. Or the woman, the girl is saying, oh, I was supposed to be a boy, you know. And, you know, so what are you saying morally? That God made a mistake? God didn't know what he was doing when he assigned your gender? I mean, I know these two platforms don't go into you know,
they really don't
into politics.
Yeah,
but how can you not argue from those premise?
Yeah,
because you know, otherwise, to me, you don't have a legitimate platform to argue the case.
It's not even that. It's just on the light of 400, 500, 600 years. Never been a gender issue.
No. Well, you go longer than that, you know.
700, 800, 900,000 years.
Well, go back to Genesis, man. You know?
But see, I'm speaking in the light of half of it. I'm not even going to say half. I don't truly know the percentage of those of
cases.
Those cases, exactly. But what I do know is that some of them aren't religious.
Well, you can't believe that any of them are religious.
But some of them are.
How you figure if it was religious? I don't know what faith. Let me just say this to that statement.
Okay.
I don't know of what faith, because if it's Christianity, then they're not religious. You
that's a touchy topic.
We're gonna skip
off Constitution.
we got a couple of more things.
All right.
Another thing that's on the ballot is your immigration.
Okay.
And that's becoming a tantamount problem.
So when you say immigration, what are they looking to do for the as far as where we're voting at? What are the voting choices?
Well, actually there is no greater choices, except for we're still trying to legitimize those people that have been here for so many years.
Right.
You know, but as far as the border is concerned, you know. There's no question that, you know, the legality of coming into America doesn't shift. You know, we don't change because we have a different administration, you know, coming through, like we said before, coming through the front door, you know, get your papers.
Come correct
or stay home or wherever, you know. But I think one of the issues that they're putting on the board on the immigration is one that was decided with the previous administration, that if you are apprehended in the U.S. illegally, you know, you crossed over illegally, you have to be transported back to Mexico.
Like, even if you're from Spain?
Even if you're from, you know, El Salvador. Well, see, first of all, here we got people from around. Listen, man, this is mind-boggling. You know, America stinks to all these other countries.
Right.
But as soon as they get a chance to leave, here they come toward the American border. They got, I mean, from around the world, you know, they are crossing into through the southern border
right.
to get to America.
Right.
You know, and it has gotten so much out of control to the state of Florida is actually having to put out coastal security.
Oh, okay.
You know, controlling the, now this is since Asia, Haiti has erupted in more so in their gang violence and taking over the capital. And many of those people are trying to escape and to come to America.
Right.
So.
Or come back home, as I read.
Well, you know, so one of the things is that they're going to have on there is if you are apprehended in America illegally, you know, we can send you back home or we can send you to Mexico, but Mexico, they aren't taking them.
At all. Know. They're already full.
You know, overcapacity.
We're trying to go over there.
Yeah.
You trying to sit them over here.
Like, criminal justice and gun regulations is always...
That's always an issue.
Yeah, that's always on the ballot, you know. So.
I feel like just leave the option open for us to carry legally because at the end of the day, even if you make it illegal to carry, there's going to be people with them. Whether we want them or not. And the law abiding citizens, I said that right. They're gonna suffer the worst. They're gonna get the grunt of it all because they're gonna be following the law of not having a weapon and getting robbed, mugged, or anything of those that situation. So it's just leave that open. Just let it be legal.
Well,
if you're anti-gun, you don't have to carry one, but for the rest of us that feel like we need that protection.
Well, they're not trying to overturn your Second Amendment. Okay. You know, nobody.
I thought they were trying.
You're gonna have a civil. You have a civil war going on if they attempt
right.
that, man.
Look,
you know,
because
I mean, you know, and just like you said, if you think about it, if we abolish the Second Amendment, you can't have a gun. Just imagine being in England someplace where citizens don't have guns.
Right.
You know, everybody walking around with sticks and knives. You know, still lethal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So now, law-abiding citizens stand up to the law, say, hey, look, okay, this is what y'all want. We're not going to own any firearms.
Right.
Now, Joe Schmuck down the street... You know, gang related or just a regular long wolf, as
right.
they call them, you
long
know.
Wolf,
yeah, and decide that he wants to take your car or my car or break in your house. But they don't steal stereos like they used to, I guess, because everybody's music is on the phones now.
Yeah, they still.
But they used to go in and get stereos and televisions and, you know, they were stealing some crap, man, that. You know, everybody has today, you know.
Yeah.
Having said that, yeah, no one wants to touch that Second Amendment rights, you know. So that's going to be safe for years to come, you know. But
let's hope, because we don't know. They might throw some curveballs. I don't see some crap.
Well, you'll have.
My 32 years of living, I don't see some stuff.
Yeah, you'll have... an individual that want to hint at abolishing it,
yeah.
you know, and then they get shut down before they get the last word out. You know? Yeah, man, it's like, poop, you didn't just say that, did you?
Imagine the pandemonium.
So people, listen, you know, pay attention to what your guy is representing for your community, for your state, and more importantly or more broadly for your country. You know, and we've said previously, you know, you can vote for a guy, you can vote for a party, you can vote against a guy, and you can vote against a party. But the more sensible thing to do is to think about which of the issues that you feel strongly about. And that's the guy that's going to represent your desire, your feelings, your emotions. So familiarize yourself with some of the issues that are on the ballot. And don't go to the polls just to vote for a guy or a party. I think it's a bad decision. But that's my take.
Well said, well said.
So we're going to sort of start a venture on dissecting and understanding the Constitution of the United States.
Let's do it.
And it came about September 17th, 1787. So I don't think any of you people remember that, you know. Yeah. You know? But it's been well documented. Exceptionally well.
I hope so.
Listen to how it's initiated, how it starts off.
Tell it to me.
It says, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And that covers a whole lot of territory.
Oh, yeah.
You know. First, even if you, what I like about it is because in its writing, it kind of stipulates that what they're dealing with, the system that they're dealing with, is far from being perfect. You see, because he says, in order to form a more perfect union.
Right.
You know, in other words, it's not perfect. You know, but it's written perfectly, but to form a more perfect union, these are some of the undertakings that we have to master to get it to more of a perfection.
Okay.
You know, because of apparently, you know, establish justice. For whom was justice to be established for in 1787?
Right.
You know, ensure domestic tranquility. You know, that's stateside. That's in your country, your territory, your unions, and to provide for a common defense. So that's where it seems that your Second Amendment came in for common defense.
Right.
You know, so you can keep and bear arms for common defense.
Right.
You know. And then put it broadly, I think that was the, you know, starting to establish your Union armies, you know, to protect you against foreign perpetrators, if you will.
Okay.
But so that is the opening of the United States Constitution, and it starts out with Article 1, Section 1. And it talks about the legislative powers here granted shall be vested in a Congress in the United States, of the United States, which shall constitute a Senate and a House of Representatives. Now, why do you think these guys, I mean, way back in 1787, do you think that they would think, because they're thinking ahead of time, this document weren't supposed to be print, because they was printing this in the newspapers. You know, this is how people would know about. You can go, if you can get your hands on, you have to go to an archive now, though, but you go to the archives, you'll find, you know, thousands of pages of newspaper articles where this was being printed. And that's how it got around the country, through newspaper printings.
Gotcha.
So, but my question is, why do you think that they wanting to establish a Congress in a Senate, House of Representatives? And, you know, when I think about these titles, you know, I think about, first of all, the country as a whole becomes a team.
Right.
You know, we're a team. We're all on the same team, if you will. But every team member has a different job title, responsibility.
Right.
You know, and the analogy that I like to use is your sports teams.
Okay.
So if I say quarterback, what comes to mind when I say quarterback?
Tom Brady.
Not who comes to mind, but what comes to mind? What in terms of jobs, when I say
that's the head.
Yeah, you know.
The leader.
Yeah, you know. So when you say quarterback, you know, that's the guy that inadvertently, you know, he calling the plays.
Which would technically be the president.
Well, you know, think about it, you know. And then if I say wide receiver, what comes to mind? What does the wide receiver does? What's his job?
He's the one that catch the ball and take it further.
Okay.
So is that what?
You know, and that can be your Congress.
Okay.
That can be any of the branch of government other than the executive branch.
Right.
You know, so if we say a title, you know, who would you equate a tackle with? A guard, you know.
That'd be the judicial.
So here we go. We got a team, okay? And so when I say you're citizens of your country on this vast team, you know, our responsibility as a citizen is to ensure that we get the right people in the right places.
Right, right.
You know, in other words, you don't put a guy that's a construction worker into your Oval Office.
Yeah, I get that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you don't put the football quarterback
on defense.
You know, so we as voters, citizens, we have to understand that although our Constitution stipulate few qualifications to be in these positions,
right?
But still, our common sense dictate otherwise. You know, that's just like you wouldn't want a car salesman to be running the feds. You know, you wouldn't want a car salesman to be the president.
Because right.
This guy never, you know, had any political understandings, you know. So when we talk about these guys, you know, particularly your legislative power granted shall be vested in a secure in the possession of or assigned to a person. Now we're going to talk about Congress, because Congress and Senate, okay? Congress and Senate, you know, they're thought to be one of the same.
Okay.
So the legislative, what does the legislative does? They make the laws.
Right.
Okay. So when you have, and you have to go and look at how this stuff is done, you know, because they have these congressional meetings, you know, and they write these bills, you know, and then it has to go to the next, to the executives, and then it has to go to, you know, and this is where your Supreme Court gets involved, you know, because they're trying to decipher or interpret exactly what you meant. So, but back step, we know that in the House of Representatives was set to have 435 members. And this was set in 1913.
Okay.
Okay. And senators, okay, there's 100 of them.
Right.
Two from each state.
Okay.
Two from each state. And they serve a total of 6 years per term.
Right.
Okay. And the three branches, like I said, the legislative, executive, and the judicial.
Yeah.
They make laws. Congress, comprised of your House of Representatives and your Senate.
Right.
Okay. And then your executive, they carries out laws. They carry out the laws. Vice President, the President, and Cabinet, and federal agents all falls into your executive branch.
Okay.
Your judicial branch, they evaluate the laws, the Supreme Court, and other courts, you know. So, when by the time these issues reach the public, they should be sorted through, debated on, and then actually if there's any discrepancies, you know, first they go through your Supreme Courts.
Right.
You know, and they'll write an opinion. But nevertheless, you know, it still has to be voted on before they actually become a law.
Okay.
The House of Representatives are chosen every 2 years.
Okay.
So that's why, you know, in a previous section we talked about the importance of, you know, down ballot or midterm elections.
Right.
You know, because this is how you get these people into these offices. You know, they may start out in your state as a House of Representatives, you know, and then they get voted to move on to a federal level.
Right.
Now, Section 2 talks about the House of Representatives shall be composed of members chosen every second year by the people of the states, and the electors in each state shall have the qualification requisite for electors of the most numerous branch of the legislature. And what exactly did they just say?
Right.
You know, and so what they're actually saying that electors are chosen in a two-part process.
Right.
You know, each state chooses potential electors before the general election. Each state chooses potential electors before the general election.
Okay.
Each state does this now. The voters select by casting their ballots. That's us.
Right.
So this is why I say, you know, a lot of times when the midterm comes up, you know, not even 25% of registered voters participate in. And then when it comes right down to it, you know, they want to complain about gerrymandering the boundaries for each district.
Okay.
You know, hey, let's go to these polls, man. Let's go vote for these people that represent your districts. you know, let's go to the polls and do this, because that's where the real work comes into play.
Absolutely.
And no person shall be a representative, and I like this because this is your requisites.
Okay.
No person shall be a representative who shall not have attained the age of 25 and lived in the U.S. or a citizen of the United States for 7 years, and who shall not, when elected, be an inhabitant of that state in which he's been chosen. In other words, you have to live in the state. And I think I can cite at least one incident where someone was on a ballot that didn't live in the state. And we even had that with local elections, such as the sheriff, for example. You know, the sheriff has to reside in the county.
Right.
You know, he can't be the sheriff in Duval County if he lives in Clay County.
Right. I think he was in Nassau County.
Nassau or wherever. He was outside of Duval.
Yeah.
You know, and so so this is what Section 2 is speaking of in terms of electors. You know, they have to live within the state that they're being elected for. And more importantly, they have to have been living in the United States as a citizen for 7 years, and they must be at least 25 years of age. And so when you go to the polls to vote for these guys, you need to make sure, again, that they represent issues that you are compassionate about.
Right.
You know, you don't just want to vote for a guy because his name is on the ballot, or voting for another guy just to oppose the most knowledgeable person, I guess I'd say.
The most popular. You can say it. It's okay.
Well, I because sometimes the most popular guy isn't necessarily the most knowledgeable person. The most popular guy sometimes won't represent your issues or what you stand for, you know. So, yeah, but, yeah, popularity does come into play when we're talking about these kind of issues, you know.
I guess you.
And it says, representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states, which may be included within this union, according to their respective numbers. So what we're talking about here is, what they're talking about here is taxes being collected. And now I was reading an article that says, you know, the people of the most wealthiest states would pay less taxes than the poor people of the state. You know, and I think Hamilton sort of opposed that, you know, but that was carried on the books for a long time. So when we're talking about these direct taxes, you know, shall be apportioned. And so that's why it's important to become, you know, a registered voter, you know, because with the numbers, you know, you get more representation.
Right.
You know, so if you're not voting, you're not helping yourself. And according to their respective numbers, which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of free persons, including those bound for service, a term of years, that's excluding Indians not taxed.
Wait, what?
Yeah, let's read that again.
Okay.
It says, and I'm going to start back at the second sentence. According to their respective numbers. Okay, so we're talking about the people voting.
Okay.
Okay. Which shall be determined by adding to the whole number of free persons. In other words, once you become registered to vote, okay, the numbers in your territory or your state will increase, okay, because if you were not voting, you are not being counted, in essence, what they're saying. Okay, including those bound to service for a term of years, but they're excluding Indians because they're not taxed. They were never being taxed because, you guess what? They were not considered citizens.
But it's okay.
Then this is where a lot of argument come in. Three fifths of all other persons, and that would be, you know, people that owned slaves, you know, and this is where they was talking about slaves was not considered human, you know, which is not true. That's not what that means. And it says the actual enumeration shall be made within 3 years after the first meeting of Congress of the United States and with every subsequent term of 10 years in such manner as they shall be law direct. Okay, so when they was talking about this three-fifths of person.
Right.
So slaves, voters, the people owned slaves, you know, and so they would count everybody else in the territory, in the state, but the slaves weren't counted as a whole person. They was counted as three-fifths of a person.
Wait, 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 back up. So one person was three-fifths of a person?
That's what that means. But, you know, many people tried to argue that the Constitution was saying that blacks or slaves was not human. They were only like three-fifths human.
What?
Yeah, you know, but that's not what that means. That means that if you owned a slave, you know, three-fifths, so it will take, you know, we'll say two people.
For one vote.
But that's, you know, that's not what that was actually saying. So they would get representation for having those slaves, you know, and then, of course, any monies or funding or taxes that was collected, you know, then could have an accurate number. That's where we call it census today, every 10 years. You remember they said every 10 years?
Yeah.
Yeah, that were their censors back in the 1787. The number of representatives shall not exceed one for every 30,000. One for every 30,000. Now, what do you think they were thinking when they were writing this? You know, that's what amazes me about this document, you know, is because this is like hindsight, man. Like, you know what? I know we're going to grow and I know yada, 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 you know, but you can only have one representative for every 30,000. How did they get an accurate count on? Through that system of census.
Right.
That's why it's important to answer to those when it's time for them to take census. A lot of people just, you know, give them erroneous information or not even participate, you know. But that will enable your state, your community to be granted funds to help with your domestic tranquility. That would help with establishing justice and for promoting general welfare for your community, you know. So when it's time for those censors, make sure that you participate. The number of representatives shall not exceed one for every 30,000, but each state shall have at least one representative.
Yeah.
That was in 1787. And until search enumeration shall be made, the state of, and they name out a few states, and how many they're entitled to. So if you look at Massachusetts, so Massachusetts would have been given 8. So that would mean that they had at least 240,000 citizens in that period of time, you know. So
yeah,
but
that was a lot of people back then, though.
Well, yeah, but gosh darn, man, you know,
from 40,000 to 40 billion,
you know. And so that's kind of in a nutshell what the beginning of Article 1 of the Constitution talks about. And then it goes and it tells us when the vacancies happens in the representation from any state. The executive authority thereof shall issue writs of election to fill those vacancies. Okay. You know, so we go from voters putting them in to the executive authorities replacing them when they are, you know, kicked out or moved on or, you know, sometimes died, you know.
Yeah. That's the one seat where you can actually, like, die in Congress, like.
Yeah, we have many of them that does, you know, or the Supreme Court, you know, you can actually die in there because that thing doesn't have a term limit.
Right.
You know, the House of Representatives shall choose their speaker and other officers and shall have the sole power of impeachment. The House of Representatives has that power. Their speaker and other officers shall have the sole power of impeachment. So, we just witnessed a few impeachments.
Yeah.
You know, in our lifetime. And I don't know. They've actually changed some things, it seems now, because, you know, they have this. Well, I guess it's pretty much the same, you know. But I was thinking in terms of the speaker of the House that just got kicked out. Kevin McCarthy.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, they did a compromise on the rule to have the speaker kicked out. In other words, he agreed to one person of the party to have him ousted from Speaker of the House. If one person decided that he was not doing the job,
He'd leave?
No, he wouldn't have, he wouldn't leave. He would be kicked out.
Oh, wow.
You know, and that, and he agreed with that because he, you know, he'd been voted on for about 10, 12 times, 14 times, and he couldn't get through. So he had to make some concessions.
Yeah.
You know, well, guess what? If you guys are not happy with me, you know, it only take one representative to have me asked. And then that's when Matt Gaetz, you know, had him kicked out, man, you know, and I think that's too much power to give to one person.
I agree.
You know, and so that actually bring us to the end of Article 1, Section 1, Section 2, and Section 3. Oh, excuse me, Section 2, that bring us to Section 3.
Okay.
Which we'll talk about that the next visit.
Okay.
So, but at any rate, folks, familiarize yourself with some aspects of your Constitution, you know, and it'll make you a stronger citizen of the United States, and that's incredibly important. So until next time, you all be blessed. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into Walker the Walker. There's a reason why we sit here and say to vote for the person that has your issues at heart. Last thing you want is to vote for somebody just because he's popular and everything that you are trying to live by just gets altered in a way that you had no idea what alter. So go deeper into it. Get a bare understanding as to what's going on in your economy. And for me personally, I always say, do the local ones too, because that's an even further depth in how you live every day.
I agree. You know, and listen, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's okay to like the guy that you're voting for.
Right.
You know, but don't just vote for him because you like him, man. Understand what he represents.
Right.
You know, and vote for those issues. We have too many times in our lives that we see people just voting for a guy because they don't want to vote for the guy that should have the job.
Right.
You know, so let's not play that game. Let's, you know, if the guy don't qualify to do the job,
then vote him out.
Vote him out.
And if he is qualified to do it, then give him his flowers, give him his merits, and give him his opportunity.
Let him do it. Let him do the thing.
Exactly. And like the OG said, man, y'all stay blessed. Happy Easter.
Chug along down through here, you know. I think the next time, though, I'm going to bring my computer.
Hey.
You know, because I got some articles, man, that, you know, I'm in, like, reading some stuff that written by Harvard Law School, you know,